appreciate that. All right. Let's take our Bibles one more time. Let's go to the book of James this evening. James chapter number 5 is where we're going to be as we're finishing up our last couple of verses from this wonderful little book of the Bible. This is our last message out of as far as our study goes. If you're glad about it, say amen. Don't do it. All right. Just making sure you're paying attention. Okay. But maybe you are glad. If you are, don't tell me. It's all right. We'll start a new study next Wednesday, okay? But I hope through this wonderful little book of the Bible, this epistle here, I hope that you've learned something, okay? I hope you've been encouraged from this book of the Bible, because it's absolutely loaded with great practical truths and help. And one I want to leave with you before we move into the message is this one. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's continue being doers of the Word of God. All right? So, as we come back to this book, I do want to be reminded once more of the 30,000 foot bird's eye view of this book one more time. All right? So just remember as we come to it that James is writing to Jewish believers, and these believers have been scattered abroad from their homes. And they've largely been scattered because of the persecution they're suffering, they're enduring at this time, which is coming from the heavy hand of the political leaders and, of course, the religious leaders of the day. And so these individuals that he's writing to, they're really going through a lot. They're going through a lot of suffering, a lot of hurting, a lot of struggling, just absolutely confused. They need a lot of help. And God chose this man, James, to be that source of help. As he picks up his pen and begins to write to these dear believers to encourage them and instruct them through this turbulent and terrible time of the first century and then within church history. So keep all that in mind as you read, as you continue to read throughout the book of James in your life. All right. But anyway, but as we come back to James chapter 5, we've already taken note a few Wednesdays ago that James is ending his letter with what we've come to call concluding commands, all right? And again, this was very common with the New Testament writers as they came to the end of their letters to conclude those letters with, again, concluding commands, commanding them to do different things, right? Telling them to do different things. But as James gives these concluding commands, there is one in particular that he really is just honed in on and does not want these believers to forget. And he hones in on a simple, even elementary, if you will, yet a very powerful command to do this. When he tells them to pray. He tells them to pray. Listen, be reminded once again that we need to be people who pray. So look at it with me in James chapter 5. We'll start in verse 13, but we're going to mainly stick in the last two verses. But just look what the Bible says. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Look at verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Our Father, as we come to the end of this great book of the Bible, I pray that you help us to see this great importance of prayer. We know we should, but often we neglect this great responsibility and even awesome privilege to come before the throne of grace and talk with our great God in heaven. Help us be people who pray. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, as we read this section of verses here, it's easy to see that the common theme on the matter of prayer is this.
praying for each other.
All right? Again, James uses the word pray or prayer 7 times in these 6 verses. And be reminded once again, when the Bible repeats itself, it's not because the Lord forgot what He said. No, He's repeating Himself for emphasis so that you and I do not forget what He says. And the emphasis of this portion of Scripture here is the great privilege we have as children of God to pray. And again, I get it. Sometimes when you go to pray, you feel very inadequate. You don't know exactly what to say or even how to say it. I know some of you are like that because, listen, I'm like that often. All right? But I'm thankful for this promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, when it comes to those moments of life in our prayer life, when the Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So sometimes, yes, we can struggle in our prayer life. But listen, though you may struggle there, don't stop. Don't stop praying. Continue to pray. But as we can look on this great subject of prayer, especially in the context of what James is saying to these believers about prayer, there are a few elements we try to take away from this text and from these verses, all right? And to jog our memory quickly, just very quickly, by way of introduction, we'll jump to the last point, but to jog our memory quickly, just be reminded that from this portion of Scripture about prayer, we saw this. Number one, we saw the command to pray. Being people of prayer, praying is a command. Listen, James knows fully aware of what these people are facing, the affliction, their sickness, their disease, their suffering, whatever they're all going through. He is fully aware of that. And when you're going through difficulties, our first reactions oftentimes are not, hey, let's go pray. Rather, a lot of times it's to get angry, pitch a fit, get frustrated, get full of fear, or even worse. But in the midst of that, James says this. Pray. Again, verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Verse 16, he says, pray one for another. Each time when he says this, it's not a suggestion. He's not giving, maybe this will help you kind of antidote. No, he's saying, listen, you need to pray. He is commanding us to pray. We must be people of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We must pray. So not only did we see the command of it, but we saw begin to look at it 2 Wednesdays ago, the context of prayer. Now, in the context of this praying here, there are a few areas in which James pointedly points out and encourages them to pray. And the first one was this, to pray in your suffering. Again, verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Again, that word afflicted, it means to suffer, especially suffering evils or hardships or troubles. And these believers were facing all of that and then some. They said, here's what you need to do. You need to pray. Even today, as God's people, we can find ourselves enduring hardships and troubles, and yes, even suffering evils. But what do we need to do during those troubled, evil, hard times? We must pray. And then he points out another element in which we need to pray is not only when we're suffering, but when we're sick. In verses 14 through 16, he talks about that. And when he says this in verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. We must pray. If you find yourself in a situation, you're sick, pray. Yes, seek medical help. Absolutely. We talked about that a couple Wednesdays ago. But above all else, we must look to our great physician in heaven. We must pray during those times. Why? Well, one of two things is going to happen. One, God will remove the affliction, the suffering, or the sickness. He could do that. I have no doubt about that. God still does that. Or He will give us the grace we need to endure the suffering or the affliction or the sickness. But in all of it, we must pray. There's another element that we left off last time that I'm going to get to today when it comes to specific areas in which we need to pray in the context of James here, James chapter 5. And it's this one. We must pray for the straying. So this evening, I want to do this. I want to see praying for the straying, more specifically. All right? Look again at verse number 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, I understand as we read this text here, these two verses, James does not specifically say, pray for the wayward brother. No doubt it is implied. It is implied, especially as we consider these two verses in the overall context of the previous verses. All right? To pray for those that are straying. Let me ask you a question this evening. Do you know anyone in your life, a co-worker, family, friend, that you know is away from God? That you know is wayward, that you know is straying from the Lord, straying from the truth? Does anybody know anyone like that at all? I know several. They're away from God. What are we to do? We are to pray for them. I'm telling you, we ought to pray for these dear people that err from the truth. Let's look at a few things as we consider praying for the straying. First, take note of this. Number one, take note of the audience here. Meaning, who is James referring to that is erring, that is doing the straying, that is going away, falling away? Well, here in this text, there's two different thoughts on the matter when it comes to who James is referring to as erring from the truth. And the first thought is this. He could be referring to a lost person, as in evangelism, okay, and evangelizing lost people. And even more so specifically, maybe they are part of the assembly, but they don't know Jesus, meaning they're a lost church member, all right? Some think that's what he's referring to. And the reason they interpret that text as such, as referring to a lost person, is found in a phrase in verse number 20 when it says, converteth the sinner. Now, some believe the word sinner here will be referring to an unsaved person, a person outside of the family of God, kind of like they would be in the church building but not part of the church body. Right? Does that make sense? Some folks believe that James is referring to those individuals within the church assembly that he's writing to. Now, just so we are clear, we know this kind of thing happens today. We know there will be people who have their names on a church membership roll but do not have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know that happens today. Even Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. You see, when it comes time to die and you stand before God, you have two options. What are you trusting in, Jesus or yourself? That's what it comes down to. And the people that trust in themselves, yeah, they may have gone to church somewhere. They'll stand before Jesus and say, Lord, I did all these things for you. I did this and I did that. I did this. Again, they say for you, meaning for the Lord, but they're doing it for themselves. Thanking this is gaining them access into heaven. Their works, you see. But that's not what gets anyone in heaven. No matter work gets anyone in heaven. We know that. We saw that. We went to the book of Galatians. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, it's all what Jesus has done, nothing we can do, you see. But we know there are folks who are churchgoers that don't know Jesus as their Savior. And maybe that's what he's referring to. There's another thought along this line that James could be referring, not necessarily to lost people, but rather to saved people who are backslid. And we get that idea from the phrase that's found in verse number 19 when he says this, brethren, if any of you, you see. Now, when James says brethren here, he is not pointing to his Jewish heritage. Yes, he's writing to Jewish scattered believers, but he's not referring to his Jewish heritage here. Rather, I believe he is referring to his fellow believers, his family, the fellow family of God. So James could be referring to a brother or sister in Christ that has strayed from the truth, that has strayed from the Lord. Those are two thoughts along these lines. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, which one do you think it is, preacher? Well, It's kind of hard to draw an emphatic line either way, for both are good possibilities, but if you want my opinion, the way that I lean is this way. I lean more towards the, this is referring to a fellow believer side of things that's doing the erring, that's doing the straying. Meaning I believe James is talking about a saved person who has backslid. But regardless of who he's talking to, regardless of what he's talking about, both sets of people, saved and lost, need the Lord. Both sets of people need help, and both sets need us as true believers to come alongside and point them to God. And both need our prayers. So that's the audience. Then we'll see this, the action, number two. Meaning what? Meaning how they began to stray in the first place. Take note again in verse number 19, this word, little word, err, all right? Some people call it from the deep south, it's right? No, but err is what. Look at verse number 9. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Now, this word here is an action word. It's a verb. This is an action word, and it means to wander away from, to astray, to roam about. But this wandering, this straying, this erring is not indicating an instant thing, meaning the error of their way or erring from the truth, it was not an all of a sudden type of thing. It wasn't a quick 180 decision like that of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, when the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken, that word overtaken is like a surprise attack, right? But overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also be tempted. So this erring was not something that just came out of nowhere. Rather, this wandering, this erring is indicating a slow progression. A gradual moving away from the truth, a gradual moving away from the will of God and the Word of God, little by little, inch by inch, just slipping away from God. And in the life of a child of God, that's very dangerous, you see. It's a very dangerous place to be, sliding backwards away from God. You say, why is that, preacher? Why is that a dangerous place to be? Well, let me read these verses to you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And there's two words in this text I'd like to draw your attention to quickly from the Hebrews there in Hebrews chapter 12. And it's these two words. Number one, the first word is chasteneth, all right, or chasten. What does this mean? Well, this would be like a stern talking to. It'd be like a, proper way, tongue lashing, all right, if you will. Anybody got a stern talking to growing up? You ever got those? Who hated that worse than getting spanked? Me too. Go ahead and beat me. Do not continue talking to me. Just go ahead and whoop me, all right? Just do it. Get it over with. Yeah, but we got several of those, all right? I got a lot of talking to's growing up. And I know most of y'all did not because, you're perfect kids. But we couldn't have been friends. But anyway, but that's what chasing means. It's like sternly talking to you. But this stern talk is always leading to instruction, trying to teach, trying to instruct, trying to direct. And by the way, the Lord's always doing that with us as His children, instructing, directing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? He's always instructing us, always trying to lead us down the right path. And by the way, He's doing that always through His Word. Always instructing us through the Word of God, we would do well to take heed. But that's what that word chasten means. And then you see this word, scourges. Now, at this time, when somebody would say scourge, they would be pointing to the flog or flogging or a whip. So basically, in today's terminology, here's what a scourge is. It's a whooping. Anybody know what a whooping is? All right, it's worse than a spanking, I'm telling you what, all right? It's a whooping. And how many of you ever got whoopings growing up? Lots of whoopings. Anybody? Good. Yeah. I got so many whoopings, not only from my parents, but my best friend's parents. All right. That's how bad I was growing up. I remember my best friend's mom would chase me out of her house because I got a D in my report card with a wooden spoon. And the only reason she didn't get me is not because I'm fast. All right. You can look at me and tell me. You can tell I ain't fast. But it's because it was dark and I fell in a ditch and got the wind knocked out of me and I couldn't scream for help. She couldn't find me. All right. But I was so bad, my other parents would beat me. Okay. And get the wooden spoon or the belt or whatever foreign object was in arm's length and beat you with it. But anyway, that's what scourge is. It's basically a whooping. But I say all that to say this. Any believer who's in a backslidden state, I want you to know something. God will deal with them. Yes, He starts out chastening them. Hey, come back. Come back. Hey, come talk to me. No, we got to have a talk. Now come here. And if we don't take heed to that instruction, that talking, all of a sudden you'll hear the sound of when Daddy takes the belt off. And you know what sound I'm talking about. Wop, 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 you know. And then you run for your life, you know. The scourge is coming. God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to deal with His own. I'm telling you, that can be a very dangerous place to be as a child of God. To remain in a backslidden state. Because listen, God does not want you to stay there. He does not want you to remain in an erring type of way. But anyway, this action of erring here, it's a gradual thing. It can happen while people sit on the pew. They're gradually erring from the truth. Slowly backsliding down the wrong path. It's slow and gradual. But then, number three, I want to see this. The start of it. Where did this straying begin? How did it begin? Well, again, verse number 19, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the," what's the next word? "Err from the truth." This is where it starts. And what is the truth he's talking about? Well, we know as we interpret Scripture with Scripture that the Word of God is truth. Jesus said it plainly in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So what's the truth? It's the Word of God. That's what the truth is. But that's where they start to err, start to drift, start to wander away from. The gradual drift from the Word of God. Listen, I cannot emphasize it enough. We all must stay in this book. We've got to remain consistent in the Word of God. We must stay in it. For if we don't, we will begin to stray from the truth. Listen, time after time, when talking with individuals, and maybe they have begun to slip up, begin to mess up here, mess up there, and maybe begin to drift here and drift there. Every time after time, when I sit down with them and they allow me the opportunity to speak with them, I always want to try to ask this question, if again they give me the opportunity, but it's this question. My friend, have you been staying in the Word of God on a consistent basis? I'm not looking for a gold star, all right? I'm not talking about perfect attendance to it, but consistently. Are you consistently in the Word of God? And when I ask this question every time when someone begins to drift or mess up here or mess up there, every time I ask that question, here's their answer. "No, preacher, I haven't been consistent in the Word." Listen, this is how it begins. The erring begins, the backsliding begins, the waywardness begins. Where does it begin? From the Word of God. Staying away from it. Getting used to not being in it. That is a dangerous place to be. We must consistently be in the Word and allow the Word to get into us. Again, James emphasizes this very fact in the beginning of this letter. In James chapter number 1, when he says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." But when you come to the end of it, he's pointing to someone who has not continued therein. Who has not been a doer of the word, and only he's only been a hearer, and he's deceived him on himself, and he's erred from the truth. Listen, we have to stay in the Word of God. So that's what the straying is. The straying is a gradual process of erring from the truth. They're straying from the Word. They're straying from the truth. And it's leading them down a path that will ultimately lead to this. If they don't repent and turn back, it will lead to death. Look at verse 20. "Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way." You see, we all think we have our own way. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse number 20, "Convert the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." So unless a fellow brother or sister steps in and helps and leads the individual, helps to point an individual back to God through their loving actions, this person will continue down this dangerous and destructive path. But how does it start? How do we start to help somebody? How do we start to point somebody back to God? We start this way. You start this way. Ready? Simple. Going back to the elementary way of things. You pray for them. Start there. That's not where you stop. Start there. Praying for the straying. So again, this evening, I ask you, do you have somebody on your mind that's away from the Lord, that's begun to stray from the truth? Then let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Maybe their family, maybe their friends. But let's pray for them. Start there. And continue in love, truth and love, right? Grace and truth. And then point them in love, point them back to a loving Savior who's waiting for them. That's what's amazing to me when it comes to people coming back to God. He's been there waiting the whole time, patiently waiting for them to return. How gracious is our God? It's amazing. But God, help us and use us to convert this person back to God. Again, that word convert just simply means to cause to return, to bring back, to come back. Basically, help this person come and get right with God, right? Even Peter needed that, remember? In Luke 22:32, when Jesus said, "Peter, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren." When you get right with God, you come back, you return. Strengthen the brethren. Listen, we need to be people who pray for the straying. I'm asking God to help us. Help the individual that's on my heart and mind tonight that are away from the Lord and they need to come back to God. Praying for them. And then as God gives opportunity to point them back to Him.